Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
No other king could vanquish the warhorse or silence the warrior's rage while riding the lowly back of a donkey. No other king could break the dominion of darkness, the tyranny of evil, with a reign of grace and a kingdom of peace. No other king could give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. Jesus is that king, the king of glory, son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for. The one to deliver us from captivity, the son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the creator come to earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as a suffering servant, the one predicted through the prophets and prepared for through John the Baptist. He is the Father's Son, Savior of the world, and substitute for our sins. More loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other king like him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other king like him. There is no other king.
We're actually in a series right now, and we're kind of closing. We're drawing to an end of our series that we're calling King. We're calling our series King. And so we've been looking at different kings in the Old Testament. And it's all been really leading up to tonight, where we're really focusing in on Jesus as King. But it's interesting because nowhere in our text tonight does it say that Jesus is the King. Actually, the Greek word is basileus, which is this word that actually is like, it means king, and it's in some other parts of Scripture. It's actually even in the chapter before, but in our text tonight, there's no talk of king. The word that's used in verse 11 here, I want you to see just kind of this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. The Greek word there is soter, Savior is used. Christos is used, Christ, Messiah, the anointed one. Kyrios is used, that's Lord. But king isn't even used. And that's interesting because as I was thinking about it, the 16 verses I read are the most familiar Christmas verses in all of the Bible. So you've kind of maybe heard them. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, what most people are teaching on tonight isn't really Jesus as king. Soter, maybe. Savior. But what about king? What about king? See, if there's different people in the room here tonight. If you're a disconnected person, like you're like, I'm not connected to this Jesus guy. I'm here because somebody forced me to come here. I'm not a Christian. I'm an atheist, or I'm agnostic, or I'm a skeptic, or whatever. Okay? Probably you would have, I'm guessing, you'd probably have the most difficulty thinking about this little baby as soter, as Savior. I'm guessing here. There's a struggle for some of you who you might be like, well, do I really need a Savior? What do I need saved from? Now, it's interesting because I'd love to sit down and talk to you at Starbucks sometime. I'll buy. But listen, what do I need saved from? Let me ask you this question. Do you lock your doors at night? And why? Fair enough, Trax. Because bad guys could come. Why do you lock your doors at night? See? I don't need saved from anything. Okay, well, it seems like there's something going on out in this world that's broken enough that I go over and, you know, lock my door. And it is bad guys, I get it, Trax, but it's also just there's this thing, there's something going on. And I get it, we're not going to solve all of the world's problems tonight, but I'm just asking the question, do I need saved from anything? Well, let's just stop for a second and think about that a little bit. What is in the air? What are we breathing? What's going on that the news looks the way it does night after night after night? Do we need a savior? And then the question is not only like, does the world need a savior, but then, and this is a difficult thing, but to begin to look inside ourselves and say, what about my own brokenness, or what about my own mistakes, or what about my own maybe moral failures? And that's a difficult thing, and we're not going to solve it all tonight. But my point is simply this. If you're not a Christian, a particular struggle might be with the word soter, a savior. Do I really need a savior? But it's interesting, because I'm really not coming after you tonight. Where I'm really coming after, I want you to think about this. I think a lot of the Christians in the house have a little bit of a struggle too. And I think it revolves around this basileus, this king idea. Because, see, here's what's happened. You as a believer, you're like, okay, fine, I'll do this whole Jesus thing. And now you've submitted certain things over, right? And this idea of Jesus as Savior, you're like, yeah, I better do that because I heard people say, you know, got to give my life to Jesus. And I got to give my life to the Lord. And, you know, he's going to save me. He's going to save me. Yeah, okay. Okay, fair enough. I like that. He comes to save. Yes, true. But what about to be your king? What about to be the king over everything in your life? I just want to ask that. I think for Christians, that word is the difficult word. Because you're like, yeah, I don't want to go down there when I die. You know, you've kind of formulated some ideas. You're like, well, I want to be saved, so I don't want to go to the bad place. I want to go up, so I'll be the savior. You know, it's interesting. I heard a theologian the other day say, he said this of Christians. Sometimes Christians fall in love with salvation more than the savior. You got to think about that a little bit. You got to process that a little bit. But that kind of hit me. Have I fallen in love with salvation more than the savior? And what comes with being this savior? Well, what comes with it is also that he's the king. Look at the chapter before, chapter 1, verse 32. Look at chapter 1, verse 32. Check it out. Here it is. And this is the angel talking to Mary. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. That's 900 years earlier. A guy named David lived and he was king. And he had been promised that there would be one of his great, 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 great grandchildren. Somebody's going to come about who's going to be king forever. And this king would be different. He wouldn't just be man. He'd be God and man, right? And so the Christmas story is about all of a sudden this Jesus guy. And even in verse 11, take a look at it. We see it here, but we cruise over it. Look at this. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. See, if you just read the 16 verses that everybody knows and has memorized, I don't think you see king. If you read the whole Bible and put it in all of its context, you have a Morpheus moment where you look at this Jesus guy and this is what happens. Here's what happens. How great of a moment is that? I mean, isn't that awesome? He is the one, right? And that's what it's been building up to and building up to and building up to. And it's like, Morpheus is like, he's the one. See, here with Jesus coming on the scene, as you read through all of God's word, it's not just that he's this cute little baby who's, oh, we'll maybe put him into its own little context where we continue. Some of you do this. You actually control it. Follow me here. You control the Savior so that you stay the king. And when it's good for you, and when you can be saved from hell, and when you can be saved from, you know, this thing or that thing, or, yeah, okay, I kind of use Jesus how I want to use him, but you're the king. He's the Savior. Because there's times where you're like, I need a Savior. I need somebody to come and help me with this cancer. I need somebody to come and help me with this situation in my home, and I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me. So then we as king start to use our little pawn, Jesus, who has some magical powers and can kind of do some stuff, and we start to kind of do him and direct him however we want. And you're the king, and he's the Savior. Who's struggling with that tonight? Don't raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. But I'm just saying, this can be a struggle, right? This might be you tonight. See, I think a lot of us, especially in the West, I think I have a good handle, a pretty decent handle on some of our Christian kind of culture today. And I think a lot of it is we feel like we have to save Jesus. Oh my goodness, some churches it'd just be, amen, pastor, amen, give it. But you see what I'm saying? Do you feel like you have to save Jesus? Like, oh man, what if it starts to slip? What if our culture keeps slipping more and more and more? What? Jesus is the king. He's the king over everything. You don't have to protect Jesus. You don't have to protect Jesus. We proclaim Jesus as king. And the most difficult spot to start is when it's in our own heart. It's when it's in our own life. You don't need to protect Jesus. He doesn't need protected. He's the king over everything. He's already gone to the cross. 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross for you and for me. He dies there. He takes all of your sin and your brokenness upon himself. And he pays the price. And he does save you. And he says, it is finished. And there's salvation for you and for me through his blood. And then he rises again from the dead. It's Easter, the Easter one. We'll see some of you then. You know what I mean? Then the Easter story happens. He rises from the dead. But see, the Christian story is that we actually believe this to be true, folks. We actually believe this is our narrative. This is our worldview. We believe it to be a true story. We believe it to be true in our life today that he's ruling and reigning now. And for a season, there's... This is why we desire his return. I want to preach all of it tonight. I can't. I get that. But he's king. He's of David. He's Kyrios. He's Lord. He's Christos. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? You don't see what I'm trying to do there? He doesn't need protected. He needs proclaimed as king. And he's king over everything. Let me just ask you today. So much I want to say, but I just... Do you know that Jesus is king over your life? That he wants to be king in your life? Do you know how good that would be if you got off the throne of your heart and you let him be there? Do you know how good that would be? See, it's a struggle. It's hard. It's not easy. Partly mostly because of how we've been brought up and how we think about things. Most of us are very self-sufficient, very individualistic based. Very much, I can do my own thing. If I get a jacked up enough truck and get enough guns, I can do anything. Well, I mean, that feels right. I mean, I'm kind of like that kind of guy. But when you start talking about things like sin, and you start talking about things like death, and you start talking about things like evil and spiritual forces of evil, listen, You don't have enough ARs, guys. I'm just shooting straight here. You see what I'm saying? You need a king. You need a king. And he wants to be king over your life, every aspect. He wants to be king over your marriage. He wants to speak into that. Do you get that? He wants to speak into your marriage. He has things to say to you in your marriage. He has things to say to you about your singleness. He has things to say to you about who you should date and who you shouldn't date. He has things he wants to say to you about how you spend your money. Are you deciding how you spend your money? Are you deciding when you go into debt and when you don't go into debt? Guess what? You're simply a slave to our culture. You believe lots of things. You say you don't believe anything. No, you believe certain things to be true. And the biggest one is that you're the king. But when Jesus is king over your finances, when Jesus is king over your health, when Jesus is king over your relationships with other people, when Jesus is king and rules and reigns supreme over the workplace and over your job, do you understand what that does? Do you understand that Jesus wants to bring to you just incredible words like joy, like peace? He wants to bring you things like love. Life. True life. He wants to bring that to you. And when he's king, you get that. Now, that doesn't mean you don't get cancer. No, don't hear me. Come on. Stick with me. That doesn't mean you don't get cancer. It doesn't mean the finances become a millionaire. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. It means you'll have joy, even in the midst of heartache and struggle and pain. You'll have peace in the midst of turmoil. And it'll be real turmoil. It's not fake. It's real. But there's peace because he's king over everything. And some places, some places he gives you freedom. Some places he gives you freedom. He doesn't care if you eat Captain Crunch or something else in the morning. Just pick one. Just eat it. McDonald's, Burger King, just pick one and go into there. That's fine. Some places he just gives us freedom. But let me ask you, are you spending any time in his word? Trying to listen to him? Trying to hear him speak to you? Are you spending time in prayer? Seeking him? Jesus, what do you have for me? You want to speak into whether or not I move or not. You want to speak. Some of the most amazing people that I know are the people who would literally, if Jesus came to them and said, you're moving to Kansas or something, they'd go. They'd just go. They don't want to go to Kansas because nobody wants to go to Kansas. But they would just go. Do you know what I mean? I want to be by those people. Because those are the people who have Jesus as king of their life. All right, I'll wrap it up. This little baby is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our worship tonight. So I want to pray. I want to pray for you. Whether you're struggling with Jesus as Savior, whether you're struggling with Jesus as King, I'd ask that you continue to seek after him. Ask your questions. Get some stuff. Dig in. Dig into some stuff. Search some stuff out. I'll talk to you. I'll honestly do coffee with you or something. I got a bunch of business cards. I'll hook you up. Other people will. I know you have family and people care about you that would do that with you. Let's get the conversation going because we actually believe this to be a true story. It's the story of reality. It's real. Okay. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you right now because you are worthy of our worship. And Lord Jesus, I come right now, and I just, with heavy heart of my own heart, I mean, I know that I like the idea of you as my Savior. I've been able to, you've given me the strength to be able to kind of get around some of that. And you're like, yeah, because I want to be saved. But honestly, God, this whole idea of you as King over everything in my life, how I parent, how I'm a spouse, how I do pastor, whether or not you give me a big church, little church, medium church, every aspect. You want to be King over everything? That's hard for me, Lord. And for that, I just repent, and I'm sorry. And I just yet again tonight surrender it all to you. Because I really want you to be King. I really want you to be King over everything. Continue to work with me, Lord. Lord, thank you for these people here tonight. Thank you for how you're working in their hearts and working in their lives. And we're all at different places. We're all struggling in different ways. But I thank you that you don't give up on us. You continue to work in our hearts. You continue to work in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.